So immediately, how has it changed what you do and what the folks who work with you do?
Boy, well, to start with, most of us, I have about 9 staff members in Florida and quite a number of volunteers as well that work at different places on the coastline. And we're all undergoing the training course to enable us to deal with oil-impacted turtles as those begin to be encountered more in Florida, and to walk the beaches and help deal with spots of oil or tar. You know, the public can't just show up out there and do those things. You have to be trained and basically certified to deal with this hazardous waste. And we're all undergoing that, and we'll be prepared as, you know, the state calls us into action to deal with various areas where the oil and turtles are being encountered. One of the things that our organization does is manage a portion of the funds from the sea turtle license plate in Florida. And we've set up an emergency fund with some of those revenues, and we're trying to direct that into places where we can help different facilities that are going to be dealing with turtles, rehabilitation centers, different veterinarian operations that deal with injured turtles in particular.
Will that involve the vet school here at the University of Florida?
Very likely. Initially, we're identifying all the different facilities that house turtles and have the capacity to deal with oil-impacted turtles, and we're trying to get resources to them so that they are as equipped as possible to deal with potentially a lot of turtles. We had a weird kind of test run of this earlier this year when...
with the cold snap,
the cold
right?
Snap, exactly.
Yeah.
We saw pretty rapidly what our limitations were in terms of housing turtles. I had never seen thousands of turtles taken out of the water all at one time and needing care, and we just didn't have enough places to send them. So we learned a little bit from that and are trying to make ourselves ready for what could be a lot of animals.
You know, after Hurricane Andrew came through the Everglades area down around Homestead, a lot of the wildlife came back that flew away or ran away or, you know, seemed to know what Mother Nature had in store for it. And yet in this case, there is no away, it seems.
That's right.
And so aside from sea turtles, what do you think are the other species that are just going to find themselves hurting the most? Do you think manatees because they feed on the seagrasses? Or I guess I'm looking for your thoughts about instinct on the part of marine life to try to go somewhere else.
Yeah. I don't know that there's a lot of opportunity for that going somewhere else. You know, most organisms, you know, small and large, up to the manatee size, they're adapted to particular environments. They're adapted to being in particular locations. I think it's a bit much to ask or to hope that they're going to somehow instinctively know to get out of this oncoming oil and to identify a place that they can go where it's not going to be. I think it's just invading their homes, you know, where they live, and they're going to have to deal with it, and we're going to have to do the best job we can helping them deal with it. You think about where this oil is going. It's spreading pretty broadly in the Gulf of Mexico, and it's also getting caught up in the very currents that sweep around Florida.
Right, the loop current,
exactly.
Which will bring it around the state.
I mean, you know, they don't call it the Gulf Stream for nothing. It comes from the Gulf. It wraps around southern Florida. It comes up the east coast of Florida, and it goes all the way up the east coast of the United States. And so the oil that's suspended and on the top, it is ultimately going to get caught up in those currents. It's going to run up the Gulf Stream to, you know, how thick it is, how dissolved it becomes by then, I don't know. It's an unprecedented amount of oil. But my instinct is that it's going to be in those currents in a way that will cause impacts on at least the southeastern coast of Florida. We're going to see oil and tar there as well. So when you start thinking about it, spreading that broadly and following those currents, those are the currents that marine animals would migrate through. Those are the currents that they would use to travel long distances, those currents are going to have the oil in it as well. So I'm not sure that there are a lot of opportunities for, as you said, getting away from it. I talked a little bit about the potential impact of oil on all the adult sea turtles that are returning to our waters to nest. But an even bigger problem is that all of the millions of hatchlings that are going to be produced this year on the beaches of Florida, they have a certain life cycle. And after they emerge from their nest, they scamper down the beach to the water, and they immediately swim for a few miles offshore until they get caught up into current that will take them to the Gulf Stream. And they spend the first few years of their lives just floating around in those currents in the Atlantic. And those hatchlings are going to be in serious trouble. The entire birthing class, if you will, of hatchlings that are emerging from Florida this year may be at jeopardy here.
Does that mean that you would want to capture those hatchlings and try to keep them in artificial means on shore to save the species?
I don't know that that would be needed to save the species. I think even the loss of that group is a calamity, but might not jeopardize the species. But one option might be to collect a lot of them and take them out further into the Gulf ahead of the oil and release them out into the environment where they should be. We've learned that, you know, an organization like ours that's been doing what we do for five decades, we've learned that this business of keeping hatchlings in captivity and raising them for a period of time and then releasing them isn't a silver bullet. There are significant problems with that. In order to survive, in order to learn how to migrate, in order to experience the beginnings of life in a way that will allow sea turtles to carry out their full life cycle and migrate back to the Florida coastline and breed one day, they really need to be in that marine environment right from the beginning. They learn how to navigate at that time. It's a very complex scenario, but that's what we've learned over time. So there are some things that we could do besides that. And one idea might be to try to get a lot of them beyond the oil spill, but in those currents further up in the Atlantic where they've got a shot at survival.
Do you have the kind of personnel to be able to do that?
No, not immediately. But, you know, when we start talking about, you know, mitigation and potentially the kinds of things that might need to be done for sea turtles, if we have the resources available, that could be one of the things that's tried. You know, our organization back in the 1950s and 60s did have a relationship with the U.S. Navy, and we would use their planes to fly sea turtles from Costa Rica to little islands all around the Caribbean to fly hatchlings in those areas and release them in an attempt to start new breeding populations. It didn't exactly work the way that we thought it might, but that partnership, that kind of mass movement of hatchlings was something that was possible and something that potentially could be tried.
Well, you know, the public hearing this is going to say if they come across sea turtles, they're going to want to help.
Yep.
And so what is your word of caution or word of advice to the general public who want to do something? If they see sea turtles, what?
Well, there are very definitely numbers that have been set up where people should call and inform anyone if you see a hatchling or a sea turtle that's affected with oil. I'm pretty confident that we are going to have most of the coastline very well covered with people monitoring it for turtles. I would issue a word of caution because this oil that's on the beach, if there are any turtles that wash up that have been impacted, the public should not handle them. It is a toxic material. There are going to be people in every county of the state that are set up to respond to those situations, and really people should leave it to the folks that have been trained and are supposed to be doing this. We've got a lot of volunteers and organizations that are set up to deal with it, and I just ask that people not take it upon themselves to handle the turtles, but to call the folks in their county that are set up to do it.